I owe all to you. Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We owe all to you, Jesus. We owe it all to you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Every breath that we take, every blink of our eyes, every moment of our life, Lord, we owe everything to you, Lord. But most of all today, Lord, we want to give you thanks for saving us and setting us free, washing us in the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, thank you that you sent Jesus into this world. Jesus, thank you that you came. We are so grateful, so honored, so blessed today to know that we are saved and set free. God, we come into this place today on this Thanksgiving Sunday, rejoicing, rejoicing, rejoicing in the salvation that you've given us. God, we take joy in that salvation, Lord. We take joy in it, Lord. It's a walk of joy. Even in the midst of all the fiery trials and the tribulations that we face upon planet Earth, Lord, we count it a joy and a privilege to live for you, O God, and honored to carry the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So Holy Spirit, come right now. Come in this place and may we be just feel secure in your arms, God, that you bless us, you touch us, you minister to us. And we love you so very much. We thank you, thank you, thank you on this Thanksgiving Sunday as we gather together in your name. Amen, 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 amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Go ahead, Wendy, put up my... There we go, we got it. Hallelujah. Well, welcome today to church. It's good to have you all here with us. Good to have each and every one of you here with us. And we are blessed together. And on this Thanksgiving Sunday, anybody had any turkey yet? It's coming, eh? It's in the brew, eh? Amen. Well, Betty and I, we were sitting this week and just wondering, why should we wait till Sunday to have the turkey? So we got a little anxious. I guess it's like Christmas where you see all the gift wrapping and everything. Like, we bought the turkey. It's sitting there staring at us. No, it wasn't staring at us, but it was there. And so we decided that we were going to cook it and eat it yesterday. And the turkey we've got is about a medium size. So we figured we're going to have it today, tomorrow, Monday. Not tomorrow, okay. Tuesday. Maybe Wednesday. Amen. So good to be together. Amen. Could you come up, Betty, and help me? Where'd John go? Well, there he is up there. He's hiding. Just wanted to make sure you were there. Wanted to thank you for the song service, the songs you put together. This one is kind of an old song. I asked him last week if he could do it, and he said, no way, I don't know that song at all. And so he just cut it off. So I said, well, I'll show you, John. I'm going to get up and sing it anyway. Okay, so it simply says, thank you, Jesus. So let me just see if I've got it here for you. Have I got the songs there? Could you put my PowerPoint into the... Next slide, anyway, Wendy. There it is. Very easy song, very easy words to remember. It's just thank you, Jesus. And it's a song I think that is very appropriate for today on Thanksgiving. And it goes like this. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord, for loving me. Are you getting it? Let's try that again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you. the truth of the gospel.
You died on Calvary. From sin you set me free. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Died on Calvary. From sin you set me free. Oh, thank you, Lord, for loving me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving me.
Here's the best part.
You rose up from the grave. New life to me you gave. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. You rose up from the grave. New life to me you gave. Oh, thank you, Lord, for loving me.
I feel like doing that again.
You rose up from the grave, new life to me you gave. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. You rose up from the grave, new life to me you gave. Oh, thank you, Lord, for loving me.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for loving me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Think about it. Loving me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. I just had to get that out of my system, John, okay? Hallelujah. Praise God. Too bad I haven't got my PowerPoint there. Next slide up there, please, Wendy, if you could put that. Hallelujah. Give thanks to Jesus. Amen. That's what it's all about. Hallelujah. I thought on this Sunday, of all those things that I put on the clothesline a few weeks ago, I thought I would put out today some compassion. Is that okay? I think that you and I as Christians, this should be the utmost of our walk in this world, is that people should see us with compassion and just to have that eternal love that God has given you and I. God shone his compassion upon you and I, and we are so blessed to know that. Next slide, please, Wendy. Can you come back again for a second there, Betty? I can remember, I love doing things. We used to do a lot of things with the kids. Anybody ever do those songs in a round where you started something and then somebody else started a different place in the song and you put it all together and it sounded so nice? Could we do that on this Sunday? You wouldn't get too mad at me for doing that, would you? Now, I'm going to do the, I will, we'll kind of divide it right down the middle of the aisle here, okay? Where'd the kids go? Okay. Come on back out, just for a second. Put all the kids on this side because they need it. They're kind of low in numbers over here, so everybody go over there. Sorry, this is getting your exercise, guys. Thank you very much. Come on over and sit on this side, okay? They need your help, lots of help, okay? Pardon me?
You'll see your
angels? Oh, yeah, I see them now, Louise. Wow. You've had a lot of turkey, have you? Just kidding. Hallelujah. Are you ready? So this side, we're going to start the song. And Betty, you know the place where to come in with the song? Okay, if you don't do it right, it's not Betty's fault. Okay? So here we go. You're all set? This side, you're singing with me. That side, you're singing with Betty, okay? I will call upon the Lord.
I will call upon the Lord.
You said you knew it, Betty. Once I go through the whole thing, and then you come in with, I will call upon the Lord, okay? Okay, we should have practiced this. I'm very sorry. Hallelujah. Let's try it again. Okay.
Why don't you let me start?
Okay, you start, Betty. Yeah, your side start. You start over there. You guys watch me, okay?
You ready?
Ready.
Shout it out. Ready. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. Oh, shall I be from my enemy?
I will call upon the Lord,
who is worthy to be praised.
So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The Lord reigneth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted. The Lord reigneth, and blessed be the rock, and let the God of my salvation be exalted.
I will.
You're doing a good job over here, Betty.
I didn't practice.
That's okay. We'll scrap that, Betty, okay? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Are you having fun in the house of God today? Hallelujah. Just want to have some joy today. I was reading about a story, interesting, about this old Florida farmer. He had a fair piece of property, and on the back of his property, he had this pond. And so as he was traveling on the back of the pond this one day, he heard laughter and singing and shouting with all this glee. And as he came closer, he discovered a bunch of women had come along to that pond, and they were skinny dipping in the pond. So he politely made the women aware of his presence, and they all went to the deep end of the pond. And one of the women shouted out, "We're not coming out of here until you leave." The farmer replied, "I didn't come down here to see you skinny dipping. I just came down here to feed the alligator." Next slide, please, Wendy. Could you go with me to the book of Nehemiah? I have no scriptures up here, so you're going to have to depend upon your Bible today, okay? Just in case you think I'm pulling your leg. We're going to go to Nehemiah chapter 12. There's a Bible in the pew. You have Bible on technology. You have Bibles all over the place. You got 12 Bibles at home, right? Oh, yeah. Kids could go. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I thought you were pointing at Stephanie and saying she's a walking Bible. Yeah, I thought that was what you're doing there. Nehemiah chapter 12. Let me know when you're there. Anybody else there? We've got two people. Praise God. So I'm going to start at verse 31. No, I'm going to go back to verse 27, okay? This kind of adds a little bit fuller meaning. Verse 27 in chapter 12 of Nehemiah. Now at the dedication of the wall of Jerusalem, they sought out the Levites in all their places to bring them to Jerusalem to celebrate the dedication with gladness, both with thanksgiving and singing, with cymbals and stringed instruments and harps. And the sons of the singers gathered together from the countryside around Jerusalem, from the villages of Nephthahites, from the house of Gilgal, from the fields of Geba and Asmath, for the singers had built themselves villages all around Jerusalem. And then the priests and the Levites purified themselves and purified the people, the gates, and the wall. Verse 31. So I brought the leaders of Judah up on the wall and appointed two large Thanksgiving choirs. Now, that's why I was trying to do the song in a round, okay? There's these two large Thanksgiving choirs. One went to the right hand on the wall towards the refuse gate. And if you have a King James version, it says dung gate. After them went Hoshea and half of the leaders of Judah, and Azariah, Ezra, Meshullah, and so forth, all these guys. And some of the priests, sons with trumpets, Zechariah, the son of Jonathan, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Mathiah, and his brethren, so forth, with the musical instruments of David, the man of God, and Ezra the scribe went before them. Verse 37. By the fountain gate in front of them, they went up the stairs of the city of David on the stairway of the wall beyond the house of David as far as the water gate eastward. The other Thanksgiving choir went the opposite way, and I was behind them with half of the people on the wall going past the Tower of the Ovens. They were having turkey, okay, as far as the broad wall and above the gate of Ephraim, above the old gate, above the fish gate, the Tower of Hananel, the Tower of the Hundred, as far as the sheep gate, and they stopped by the gate of the prison. So the two Thanksgiving choirs stood in the house of God. Likewise, I and half the rulers with me and the priests and all these guys going right down and right down to the singers saying loudly with Jezreel the director. Also that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for God has made them rejoice with great joy. The women and the children also rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. Father, thank you for your word. Bless it to our lives. Stir us. Do something, show us, investigate in our lives, Holy Spirit, what needs to be done, and we allow you to do it today. Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this place, in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Just like that story with the old farmer and these ladies skinny dipping in this pond, can you sense the tension of what might have happened on that day? And as you think about this, I believe that there's also a tension that came upon those involved in this story. I believe also there is a tension in every day of life. Have you ever felt the tension that you and I feel every day? Pulled this way, pulled that way, should do this, should do that. And there's always this tension when we let something sway us or cause us to be going its way. I've always found that when you don't follow the Lord and you follow the sway or the things of what the tension is, we find ourselves in this place called defeat. You ever found that? Defeat. And unless we call upon the name of the Lord and trust Him, I think that we're going to be losing and lost in that defeat. Anybody need some strengthening today? Because you may be going through some tensions. You may be going through some stuff today that is really causing a lot of problems in your life, and I believe that we need to call upon the Lord. Amen? See, Thanksgiving is supposed to be a weekend of eating, and family. Yeah, I know, Andrea, you want to eat because you haven't been eating so well lately. Up at Bible College, she has told me that the food isn't the greatest up there, but we're going to feed you here this morning. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it's a weekend of eating, isn't it, Andrea? Eating. And family and fellowship and getting together and eating and having fun. Amen? But it's possible because they say that Christmas is one of the times of the year when this tension comes in, where people with no family or no friends, and the tension arises, and they say that suicide is rampant in the Christmas season. And I really believe that when you get to these special holidays, when these times when the nature of our very being is that we are gathering together with friends and family and doing all the festivities that we're supposed to do, there's this tension. You know, we're supposed to be celebrating. We're not supposed to be defeated. We're supposed to be celebrating. So as we look at this portion of Scripture that shows to us this tension of defeat and then coming to this winning side, which is really interesting. Now, I got a timeline here of what really happened with the nation of Israel. And this is really good because around 2000 BC, God made this everlasting covenant with Abraham. And he said, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse those who curse you. And it was the Abrahamic covenant. And it was under for the nation of Israel. And they were to live under that and walk under that and enjoy under that all the blessings of that Abrahamic covenant. And around 1400 BC, the Israelites entered the promised land after all the 400 years of being in Egypt and the 40 years of wandering around the countryside and the desert land. And they now entered into the Mosaic covenant as they entered into the promised land. And they divided the land up amongst the 12 tribes. And they went into their places with rejoicing. They've got to that land flowing with milk and honey. And they were enjoying it. Then around 1000 BC, King David conquered Jerusalem, and he made the capital of the kingdom of Israel right there in Jerusalem. David did that. It's good to see other people do that these days as well. Amen. God covenants with David that the dynasty would be an everlasting one. He promised him that in 1 Chronicles chapter 17. And his son Solomon was commissioned by the Lord to build the house of the Lord, the tabernacle. And the Lord declares that his eyes and his heart would dwell perpetually there with them. Then around 920 BC, Israel was divided into two kingdoms. The 10 northern tribes rebelled against the Lord and set up an alternative religious system. In other words, they started wandering away from the God of their hearts and their lives and the nation of Israel. And the tribes of Judah and Benjamin remained faithful to the Lord for a while. A remnant from the 10 northern tribes joined the two southern tribes known as Judah to worship the Lord in Jerusalem. Then around 720 BC, the 10 northern tribes are taken into captivity in Assyria. God allowed them to be taken into captivity because they had absolutely turned their backs upon God. And so they were taken into captivity. By this time, judgment had been prophesied against Judah for their rebellious nature against the Lord. Around 586 BC, the temple in Jerusalem is destroyed by King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon on the 9th of Av on the Hebrew calendar. And all the third wave of captives were taken, and they were taken into this captivity. Now, all the nation of Israel was held in captivity. In about 536, the first wave of the Jewish exiles were able to return to Jerusalem, and the permission of King Cyrus of Persia gave them letters to begin to rebuild the temple. And around 445 BC, the third wave of Jewish exiles returned to Jerusalem under Nehemiah, and the walls of Jerusalem are rebuilt. However, a significant number of those exiles chose to stay back in captivity. Can you sense the tension that they were going through? Coming from captivity and wondering if God was going to finally release them and bring them to this place where they would have their wall built back in that very entity. What a place to be. I was reading in my dictionary, which I get my daily dose of a new word that comes my way. This week I got this real neat word. It's spelt W-E-L-T. S-C-H-M-E-R-Z. Anybody pronounce that? Weltschmerz. Weltschmerz. W-E-L-T-S-C-H-M-E-R-Z. Weltschmerz. Mental depression or apathy caused by comparison of the actual state of the world with an ideal state. And as I looked at that, I thought that's exactly where Israel must have been. They were in their Weltschmerz. Okay? A mental depression or apathy caused by comparison of the actual state of the world with an ideal state. And if you were to go back to Nehemiah, you would read a list of the returning exiles, and it's all listed through Nehemiah, and it's really good for us to know and understand. But we can sense as we list all those names that there's tension going on. What is God going to do with us? And in chapter 8, they brought the book of the law out to read to them. And you go through that chapter 8, verses 8 and 9, and you will find out as they read that word that there was kind of sorrow and mixed feeling and tension. But Nehemiah stood up and said, I want to let you know, folks, as he looked at all the crowds, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Forget about the tensions and the defeatism and the negativity and all that stuff. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And that's what he wanted to get through to them. And so when you pick it up in chapter 12, we see that the wall is completed now. It's finished. And if you were to read in verses 27, verse 30, and go back to those, you would first find that Nehemiah called all the Levites and their families to prepare for the dedication celebration. Of course, we know who the Levites were. They were the priests, the nation, the tribe that God set apart to look after the tabernacle, to look after the singing, to look after the gates, to look after the things of the holy place. And then you go into chapter 12, verses 28 and 29. We also see that the Levites were to provide the choir and the instruments for the music. The invitation was for the Levites in Jerusalem and all the surrounding villages, and to bring all those Levites together, bring your instruments, bring your guitars, bring your harmonicas if they had them back there, bring your juice harp. We were talking about that a little while ago, juice harps. Anybody know what a juice harp is? Some of the older ones do. It's a thing that used to pow, 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 pow. Remember Huck Finn, Huckleberry Hound, and all those guys, you know, Tom Sawyer, they used to play those things down the bayou. So they all came together with all their instruments. Then in verse 30, what happened next was the priests and the Levites went through a cleansing ceremony. That kind of cleansing ceremony included the bathing or washing, changing into clean clothing, then offering sacrifices and praying and rededicating one's life to the Lord. And you can find out about that in Leviticus 16 and Numbers chapter 8, how they were to prepare themselves ceremonially for what was to come. Something like what we do on Sunday morning to come to church. Amen. How many bathed this morning? How many didn't? No, I'm just kidding. I just saw some people move away from others. Amen. Then after this cleansing, the priests and the Levites, they dedicated and they purified the people, it says here in verse 30, and the gates and the wall itself. They purified it. It says in chapter 12, verse 30, and then the priests and the Levites purified themselves and the people and the gates and the wall. And when this was all completed, the cleansing ritual fulfilled, Nehemiah, for some reason, decided to divide the leaders and the musicians into two groups. You know, it's kind of like, you know, the left group and the right group, and they're just getting ready, two Thanksgiving groups. And the key here is Thanksgiving. Amen? Thanksgiving groups. Then in verse 31 to 39, he led them to the top of the wall. Now, the one group was under the leadership of Ezra. Now, if you were to go back to part of the chapters here, you would find out that Nehemiah was a governor in this new area, and Ezra was a priest or a scribe. And so Ezra took the first group, and this group was given instructions to walk in this processional form along the top of the wall, and procession would go right towards the refuge gate, or the dung gate. And as they walked in this dedication processional, they were to play all the musical instruments and sing with joy on top of the wall as they were walking along in this place. And that's how it all happened. That's how it came about, that Ezra led this group in a processional march heading south. And perhaps one of the greatest reasons for marching along the top of the wall was that Ezra's group would have seen the results of their hard labor. I mean, if you stand on top of the walls, down below, down beneath, it's hard to see what you've done, what the effect of many people. I mean, if there's hundreds or thousands of people working on this wall, and you've just got your little area that you've been working on for all these weeks and the months, that all of a sudden you get on top of the wall, and you would have seen, wow, you'd have been going, that's amazing. I never knew that we'd accomplished that much. And so I really believe that one of the reasons was to get them on top of the wall so that they could look down below. It's kind of like, you know, when God looks down upon us here in this church, in every church across this nation, I wonder what he sees. You see, here we are looking up, and God's looking down. And he sees the blessings, and he pours out the blessings, and he sees what we're going through. And all we can see is our own individual little life and the things that we're going through. And poor me, poor me, poor me. Look at what I'm going through. If only we could see through the eyes of God and how he's orchestrating all the things and the plans and the purposes all around us and the things that he's doing for us. And it tells us in these verses that as they went along, they passed over the refuse gate. And they went along by the fountain gate in verse 37. And they went as far as the water gate eastward, it says in verse 37. And that has nothing to do with U.S. politics, okay, when you read that water gate. Anyway, that's the first group. They were getting prepared for what God had in store for them on this occasion on the wall. As it was repaired, it was rebuilt under Nehemiah's direction. Now, the second group was under the leadership of Nehemiah. The first one under Ezra, the second one under Nehemiah. Says that in verse 38. The other Thanksgiving choir went the opposite way, and I, Nehemiah, was behind them with half of the people on the wall. And this group also walked in a kind of processional, but in the opposite direction to the first group. In other words, they were going to go around all the walls of the holy city. Yet again, they were on top of the wall. On top of the wall, not beneath or down by the bottom. They were on top of the wall. And same as the first group, as they walked along, they also saw the results as they were cheering and singing and playing all the instruments. They looked down and saw all the results of their hard labor, their work, the construction that had gone on for this wall. And it tells us as they walked, they passed the Tower of Ovens. The final destination was as they went past the broad wall. Then we're told, and all they saw on going to their destination was this in verse 39, above the gate of Ephraim, above the old gate, above the fish gate, the tower of Hananel, the tower of the hundred, as far as the sheep gate, and they stopped at the gate of the prison. And as they stopped, and the first group stopped, here they were as they reached to this place, which was the temple. The temple, the place of worship. It was a temple area. And the thing about the temple area is that this is where the worship service was to be held on this day of this Thanksgiving choir. See, everyone I've found over the years has different ideas of how you should dedicate or worship something or do something in this ceremonial type of thing. I've been to a lot of churches. They dedicate a wall, or they dedicate a building, or they dedicate an add-on to the church, or they dedicate something else. And people would be sitting there and say, well, if I was doing it all, I would have done it differently. And some pastors would come in and help with the dedication. And over the years, I've gone to all these different services and the bottom line is, it doesn't matter how it gets done, as long as it gets done, as long as we praise the Lord, as long as we dedicate our lives. Everybody does it differently in this church, how you want to do it, but thank God that we're all dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And it seems that different people had different ideas, perhaps back in those days, but I think, as why I read about Nehemiah, we're not told if God had given him these plans or if he felt this was a good way to do it. We aren't told, but the main thing is, the job got done. The walls were built. But in looking at it all, it seemed to be a wise decision on his part to dedicate the wall in this way. Because I think as we read these scriptures, there's an interesting part of this whole thing that seems to unfold to us. Recall when the people walked around the walls of Jericho, they walked around in a solemn time, and at the end of it all, after the 7 days, they were supposed to give a shout and blow the shofar, and to see the walls come down. And I thought, well, here, this is just like an opposite effect, because they're supposed to walk around the walls not being quiet, but playing their instruments and shouting and rejoicing and singing the songs. And the walls weren't coming down. They were rejoicing because the walls came up. Hallelujah. So Nehemiah had them walk along the top of this wall, and this would have caused them to reflect. Ever had those times to reflect? Just kind of think about life. Benny and I do that when we get into bed at night. Hey, what do you think about that? You know, that's kind of cool. Yeah, I don't know if anybody else does that, but it helps me go to sleep. I tell Betty, keep reflecting, Betty. Keep doing that, because the more you reflect, the tireder I get. No, just kidding. That's how we put ourselves to sleep at night. We talk to each other till the gears are gone. Amen? So anyway, it caused them to reflect, caused them to feel the emotion. We need to feel emotion, don't you? I like to come to church, and I like to feel the joy. I like what joy feels like. I like what happiness feels like. I like what peace that passes all understanding feels like. I like those things. Those are good feelings. I like to embrace them and hold on to them. And so I think they would have reflected upon those things and felt those things. And they were really focusing on, we've come through a lot. Look at this wall. And they were focusing on these things. And they were seeing the results of all that had been done. It's like that song that we sing, look what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. This is a good sight over here. Now, I don't know if they were doing songs in the round, but they had two Thanksgiving choirs in this day. And as I look at this, back in those days, this would have been a massive project to build this wall. Massive project. I mean, you look at something today, and you go to the city of Toronto or Ottawa, and skyscrapers go up in the course of a year, which are 30, 40, 50 stories going up. And it's amazing to watch these things with all the heavy equipment they have and the technology and everything to build those. I mean, back in those days, they didn't have that stuff. They had to slug it out. They had to work, sweat off the brow, bruises. I think there was, if they had liniment back in those days, I'm sure the liniment was being sold like crazy. But it would all give them the idea that it's not easy. But look, this is what we've done so far. Isn't God good? This is what we've done under the Lord Jesus Christ, under God, and so it's good. And so any more that comes along would be also a blessing to them. I mean, this is one project. Hey, when's the next project come along? We did so well on this one. Let's try another one. And so they would have that kind of an attitude. And since they had accomplished so much in just these days, they would be confident that they could achieve any task, even the rebuilding of the city and the nation. See, another benefit of walking on top of the wall was so their enemies could see them. Remember all those people that were coming along and say, you know, if they get that wall built, looks good, it's going to happen. So they started getting letters. They started reaching out to other people and the enemies. And as you read through the book of Ezra and Nehemiah, you would find as they were building the walls that it's almost like they had to have a person with a sword beside them and somebody else with a hammer working on the wall. They were combined in those very two things of getting ready. I mean, as they were walking on the wall, but this day, the two Thanksgiving choirs, the shouts, the music, the instruments playing, and they were just crying out to God and praising Him and having the joy of the Lord as their strength. If the enemy saw that, they would have said, man, too late. Too late. They've got it. They've got it. I want to encourage you today, church. You need to walk on top of the wall. You need to walk on top of the wall. You're not defeated. Jesus Christ made you an overcomer. So thank God for that wonderful blessing that we have in Him. So in other words, I think the enemy would have thought twice before attacking this kind of a place. Thought twice. So we get to this next section in verses 40 to 47. It's kind of an interesting section. But Nehemiah gathered them all for this dedication service. And here are all the choirs and all the civil officials and all the priests. And Nehemiah and the governor took their places. And after the music and the worship, the worshipers offered their sacrifices, we're told in verses 42 to 43. And the people, they were rejoicing greatly. And I don't know why it put this down. And even the women and children. Is there something about kids that... Ladies, that, you know, I always thought you guys could worship pretty good. But anyway, it says that even the women and children were worshiping. And everyone was flooded with joy. In fact, the celebration and all the rejoicing were so loud that the noise was heard long distances away. Wouldn't it be good if Cornwall heard the churches every Sunday morning? Not just putting a steeple out in front of the church and high steeple, few people. But to have the crowds actually crying out and praising God and wondering what that rumble is inside the building as they drive by the cars. Have you ever driven by those young kids with the monstrous stereos in the back of the car? Boom, 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 boom. I'm sitting there at a light and, Betty, what's that? Is it an earthquake? No, what's that? That guy beside us, he's got those big speakers in the back of his car. Boom, boom, boom. So I just, oh, okay, I'll show him. Would to God that people be going by Cornwall Pentecostal Church and feel, what's that? What's that? It's a rumble of worship and adoration and singing and declaration that God is good. Look what the Lord has done. Amen? That's what we need to do in our day and age. Let people know that what's going on inside the church. Praise God. So Nehemiah somehow knew that if they were going to continue building the city of Jerusalem and the nation of Judah, Nehemiah needed to get into their hearts and into their spirit this joyful attitude, this joyful spirit that would keep them going and keep them building. And I really believe the church of the Lord Jesus Christ needs to get this again in this day and age in 2018. We need to get past all the negativity. We've got to get the joyful spirit back into us, because when we get the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ, anything could happen inside the walls of this church and outside of the walls of this church. Amen? What a lesson it is for us today to do what we do, church, with a joy and enthusiasm. Every department, everything we do for the Lord Jesus Christ, with a joy and enthusiasm. It's not like, oh, I guess I'm on greeting today. Nobody else will do it. Well, I guess I got to preach today. It's joy. It's joy. What a joy it is to come to the Word of God, to greet somebody coming into our church, to do the sound at the back. Amen? Are you learning it, Flora? Isn't it a joy? Wow, I saw you smiling and laughing the whole time. I told Amy this morning, she was sitting at the piano, that's all they do is laugh back there. That's good. That's what we need. We need joy in the house of God. Amen? Hallelujah. We need that. What a lesson for us today that we need the joy of the Lord. It's our strength. I mean, if this church or any church for that matter to build, to progress into the future until Jesus comes, we have got to have a positive, strong, joyful spirit that this work is not too big for any one of us, that we can do it. I mean, just read through the Bible again, and any time something came along, they could have said, God, this tabernacle is just too much. God, that ark seems a little bit too big. I don't know if I can do it. But when you are given a task by God, did you know that there's anointing that comes down upon you and that you can do anything? We are more than overcomers through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And if we could look at things that way, we would see a lot more accomplished in the kingdom of God. Can you say amen? See, we've got to develop this positive. Could I say positive? Could I say optimistic? Got to have this optimism that we're going to see something. We got to have that expectation that God's going to do something. And that's why Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Wendy, for doing a good job back there. Could you do the next slide, please? She's got a smile on her face. See, there's some things that I was thinking of here with this building of the wall and the completion and all that. It was a big deal for Israel to put those walls back into place. This was no small job. It was a big deal. I mean, as they looked at it, this was quite the accomplishment. I don't know how many times Nehemiah would have got it and say, Nehemiah, I think you bit off a little bit more than you could chew. I think this is too big a task for us. But Nehemiah kept going. He wanted to put those walls back into place. He wanted to see those walls back up. Why? Because this is the holy city. This is the city of God. This is Jerusalem. I think we need to build the walls. I think we need to build them. And maybe for us today, you know, we have this kind of tension in us that we put up walls around us in our veneer and all those things so people can't get inside and find out what we're like, and we put up all these walls. But you know, I think there's a heart of a different type of thing where God goes into the heart and puts up these walls to protect the salvation that we have in there. When you receive Jesus Christ, He wants to put a hedge of protection around that very core of your life in Jesus Christ. He wants us to protect it and keep it in there. So I believe that those walls need to be built in our heart again, because there's too many people these days straying and wandering away and backsliding and going away from the things of God. We've got to put a hedge around that very core of what the Jesus has done in our life, salvation. Keep it strong. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Keep it strong. Keep it whole. And so maybe we need to put some walls back up today. They said it was a big deal back then for Israel to build that wall. I believe that today in 2018, it's a big deal to put a hedge of protection around that salvation that you've got and stay strong in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? It's a big deal. Next slide, please, Wendy. As you read this, oh, you went too far. That's okay. Thank you. Didn't want them to read that one. They didn't see it anyway. They were doing their best to get back to where God wanted them. Okay? So as you read this account, it seems to me that they were trying their level best, everything they got, to get back where they knew they fell off. Kind of like the book of Revelation says, repent, come back to that place where you fell off. Come back to that place where you drifted away. So they were coming back with everything they had. They wanted to reinstate it all and get to the readings of the scriptures, and they wanted to get back to the singing. They wanted to get back to the joy in the house of God. They wanted to get back to the joy of their salvation, and the heads of the families would stand again with conviction and doing the right thing. And maybe for us today, we need to renew our vision. We need to get back to that place where God wants us to be. Maybe we just need to do something today to get our life back in order and get on that target and have that very place in God. And so they were doing their best to get back to where God wanted. Do your best today to get back to where God wants you to be. Do your best. Give it your all. Give it your every effort to just stay in line with what God wants to do in our lives. Next one, please, Wendy. They sang songs of praise and thanksgiving. I like what Psalms talks about, songs of deliverance. You know, we learn about a lot of things. And I don't know about you, but music is a key in my life. It's key. I love music. It does something to me. It changes me in a moment. Like, you know, I just listen to it. And Betty and I don't know, we go around the house humming and singing and making melody in our hearts to the King of Kings and just rejoicing. And I find Betty sings a song around the kitchen. The next thing I know, I'm singing it in the living room or somewhere else in the house. You ever found that? Somebody starts a song and you're taking it. And when one of us forgets a verse, the other one picks it up and you go back and forth. It's kind of neat. That's the way the church works. And we need those songs of praise and thanksgiving. You know, maybe there's somebody here today that you need to make music again. You lost your song. You lost your melody. You're just kind of going along and floating. You need to get back. I mean, I can only imagine the top of this wall. Those instruments were being played, and the songs of praise. I mean, if there was somebody there that was feeling a little bit down that day, I think that in the crowd, they would have started being lifted up. And that's why we have church. That's why we come together. I don't know if somebody in the crowd today needs a song, but that's why we sing songs. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. Amen. We sing all these songs about the Lord Jesus Christ and honoring Him. Next slide, please. I was reading in my devotional this week, and Dr. Frank Roy, he writes a lot of good stuff. I don't know if the fellow is still alive or not. Some of the old devotional books, you know, you find them and they're dated from 1910 or something, and good words, but they never pass away, words. Devotionals are good for us every day. And I like this because he said, you can't be a good witness if you're not willing to testify. Amen? You can't testify if you don't have a testimony. You've gone through things in your life, but you're afraid you would be laughed at if you told it. That just might be your testimony. Isn't that cool? So I looked at that. Hallelujah. I was looking up a word here of thankfulness. Next slide, please, Wendy. What do we need to do today to rebuild? You know. I know. We all know what needs to be done in our life to get to where God wants us to be. Now, I love going through books and books, reading things about everything. And when I came down to this very thought of thanksgiving, thanks, I went to a Bible dictionary. Could I just read you this interpretation? Because we're going to the communion table in just a moment. Okay? So listen to these words as I read to you about thanks or thanksgiving from a dictionary. It says, the Old Testament has no concept parallel to the English word thanks. That is simply an expression of appreciation to other persons or to God. What do the words thanks and thanksgiving mean in the Old Testament? The Hebrew word is yada, which with its derivative is often translated thanks or thanksgiving. It means to declare publicly or to acknowledge. It is used of the confession of human sin and also a public confession of God's character in His works. It's a confession of sins. In the latter usage, the Hebrew concept is that of praise, not thanksgiving. The New Testament word translated thanks is eucharistio, thankful, eucharistos, and thanksgiving. It's a thankful attitude and a demonstration of gratitude. And only three passages in Luke 17, Acts 24, and Romans 16 are these words used of thanks given to human beings. In the New Testament, the swelling sense of gratitude and appreciation expressed in thanksgiving has three primary associations. Thanks is given at the Eucharist or the communion service for the broken body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Thanks is given for the blessings that have come to us through Christ. Thanks is given for those who come to know Christ and who bring joy to Paul's heart, says in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Remembering all that Jesus has done for us and in us, it is appropriate to address every prayer with thanksgiving. Remembering all that Jesus has done for us and in us, it is appropriate to address every prayer with thanksgiving. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for thanksgiving. God, could we say thanks enough for all you've done in our lives? Saved us, set us free, pulled us out of the muck and mire of sin, lifted us from the miry clay, put us upon a rock to stay. And so, God, we give you praise. We give you thanks today. We love you so very much. We need you so very much. And so as we come to this communion table today, as we remember the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, as we contemplate and draw back in our minds that, Jesus, you hung upon a cross, your blood flowed down Calvary's mountain, your body was pierced. People mocked you, laughed at you. You did not deserve any of what you received, but yet you did it for us. So, God, how could we ever thank you enough for that lonely Calvary's tree that you died for us? And as we come to this communion table, Lord, help us to examine ourselves. And if there's something inside of us that says, I need to give thanks today to Jesus, then, church, let it flow. As the Spirit of God examines us, and tells us, why not give Jesus thanks for all he's done in your life? Hallelujah. Go ahead and do that this morning. Would the worship team come, please? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would the elders come forward, the board. Betty, could you help us out today, please? Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Hallelujah. Stay in this attitude of joy. Stay in this place of contemplation. Stay in this place of examining ourselves and looking inward and say, God, if there's something I need, like what we read in Nehemiah, there's something I need to do, Lord. Help it to be done now through the accomplishment and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Father, I pray over this communion time. I pray that as we distribute the emblems, that this is not a time to take lightly. It's not just another Sunday where we have communion put into a service. This is a moment of reflection. It's a drawing back to Calvary. It's remembering what Jesus did for us. It's a day of thanksgiving, God. Yes, we thank God for the produce and the fields and the farmers and the things that we enjoy in this life. But God, there's nothing compares to what you did at Calvary for us, Lord. The food sustains habitual daily life. But Jesus, you gave us life, and more abundantly, and for eternity. And so, God, we're truly grateful. And help us to be that as the distribution of these emblems goes to each person today, in Jesus' name. If you're visiting with us today and you are born again, that's the only requirement today for you to participate with us. As the emblems are passed, please hold them at my direction. We'll all take them at the same time together. So if we could do that this morning, that would be fantastic. Praise God. Hallelujah. Jesus.
nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. It's nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
For my pardon, this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, it's nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Not of good that I have done, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Is that flow
that makes me white as snow? No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. It's good when we come to that next line, no other fount I know, not of the world, not of any pull upon our being, when we only come and we know the fount of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've found a pearl of great price. We've found salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a joy it is today to come together. What a joy it is today to celebrate together what Jesus has done for us, to remember him and all the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why Paul said, I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's partake of the bread together. Thank you, Jesus. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do, as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Let's partake together. Oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And oh, precious is that flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. God, I pray that we have a great Thanksgiving Sunday. Started off good in church. What a great way to begin the day, Lord, is to praise you and thank you and to glorify you, Lord. Thank you for building our life in you. Thank you for the blood today. Thank you for the broken body. Thank you for the word. We learn from the word. We glean from the word. Thank you, Lord. Get us stronger every day in you, Lord Jesus. We face battles daily, daily. We face them, Lord. So we need you. We need you. We need you, Holy Spirit. You're our protection, our strength, our guide. You're the one who teaches the scriptures. So we thank you, God, for this Thanksgiving Sunday as we gather together with family and friends and just have a blessing with each other, Lord. I pray that you go with us, and may we reflect all day long, all this week long, of the goodness of God in Jesus. And we thank you, and we pray in his name. Amen. Amen. Amen.